Call Back the Past.
...1910 was a coronation year, a year of union for South Africa, of sweaters worn knee-length and most ladies sporting sunshades as part of the smart ensemble of the time. The tango had been imported from Latin America and was now firmly established in the dance halls of Britain and America, while the United States' own musical export was the 100-strong band to Europe led by John Philip Sousa. Scientific highlights of 1910, Madame Curie's isolation of radium, and the first roller bearings. England saw its first regular airmail service, and an exciting finish to the Daily Mail air race from London to Manchester. First home was Louis Paulin, closely chased by Claude Graham White, who in the process became the first man to do night flying. Graham White recalls,
"One strong gust of wind turned the plane right round. I felt it would be madness to try to carry on. So in the dim dawn, I landed safely in a field close to a signal box, and within an hour after my mechanic's arrival at 5 o'clock, thousands of people had already arrived at this very early hour. And later on, a man came running up and told me that he had just been informed by telephone that Paulin had arrived at Manchester and had won the £10,000 Daily Mail prize. In spite of my losing the race, the crowd cheered me for several minutes, for it was the first time anyone had ever made a cross-country flight by plane in the dark."
South Africa played two test series, both against England in 1910. At rugby, the Springboks won the rubber by the odd test in three, but the English soccer side proved too good, winning all three tests. Sensation in world boxing was caused by the defeat of James J. Jeffries by Negro heavyweight Jack Johnson in the year in which this was a top tune.
When you and
Hopalong Cassidy and the History of Mr. Polly were among the most widely read books of 1910, a year which marked the passing of such literary figures as Mark Twain and Leo Tolstoy, whose voice we hear now. Another death of 1910 was that of Florence Nightingale. The theatrical season provided Rebecca of Sunnybrook Farm and Galsworthy's Justice, while the musical stage was dominated by Naughty Marietta, which included this evergreen song in its score.
Ah, sweet mystery of life, at last I found thee. Ah, at last I know the secret of it all. All the longing, seeking, striving, waiting, yearning, the idle hopes, the joy and burning tears that fall.
For it is long and all and all the world is seeking.
The first experimental radio broadcast was made by Leda Forrest, who succeeded in transmitting part of an opera from New York's Metropolitan Opera stage for some distance. But the most spectacular use of radio in 1910 accounted for the capture of the notorious murderer Dr. Crippen, who under the name of Robinson had embarked for America on the ship the Montrose. The skipper, Captain Kendall, became suspicious of Crippen and sent a radio message to London. Inspector Dew of Scotland Yard took the next ship, the Laurentic, which overhauled the Montrose, and boarding the latter, Dew made the arrest. Captain Kendall takes up the story.
That night was dreary and anxious. The sound of our foghorn every few minutes adding to the monotony. At Father Point, the pilots came on board and came straight to my cabin. I sent for Mr. Robinson. When he entered, I stood with the detective facing the door, holding my revolver inside my coat pocket. As he came in, I said, "Let me introduce you." Mr. Robinson put out his hand. The detective grabbed it, at the same time removing his pilot's cap, and said, "Good morning, Dr. Crippen. Do you know me? I'm Inspector Dew from Scotland Yard."
Halley's Comet lit up the sky in 1910, while Stravinsky's Firebird ballet music and Pavlova's Dying Swan brightened the world of the dance. And while Puccini's Girl of the Golden West gave pleasure to the lovers of more serious music, the music hall fans were acclaiming their own favorite Harry Champion with his famous 1910 musical dish of boiled beef and carrots.
When I was a nipper only 6 months old, my mother and my father too, they didn't know what to wean me on, they were in the dreadful stew. They thought of this, they thought of that, got a little bit of old cod row. I said, "Pop round to the old cook shop and I tell you what'll make me grow. Boiled beef and carrot, boiled beef and carrot. That's the stuff for your Darby Kell, it makes you fat and it keeps you well. Don't live like vegetarians on food they give the parrot. From morning they blow out your kind on boiled beef and carrot." I'm the father of a lovely pair of nippers and the big fat boys. They're twins, you can't tell which like a pair of celluloid. We have been christened yesterday, parson took them on his knee. I said, "If they've both got ginger hair, I want their names to be, beep, beep, beep. Boiled beef and carrot, boiled beef and carrot. That's the stuff for your Darby Kelly, it makes you fat that it keeps you well. You don't live like vegetarian on food they give to parrot. From morning I blow out your kite on boiled beef and carrot, boiled beef and carrot. bed. Boiled beef and carrot. That's the stuff you don't be kill. Makes you fat and it keeps you well done. Seems like vegetarian. A food they give to parrots. Ramones and the lads are kind of boiled beef and carrot. Da da dee da dee da da. Like it is like a bite in the dog of
a. With the abdication of Manuel II, Portugal ceased to be a monarchy and became a republic under the leadership of Theófilo Braga, while Britain mourned the passing of her monarch, Edward VII. And so, later in the year, the reign of King George V started, amid ceremony and celebrations, which included a program at Covent Garden, comprising such opera greats as Melba, Tetrazzini, Caruso, and McCormack, and ballet stars Nijinsky and Cassavana with the entire Diaghilev Ballet. It was a glittering occasion, as Cassavana herself recalls.
Can you imagine the auditorium on which the lights didn't go down? It was lit up, so we from the stage could see it. And it was most wonderful sight. The garlands of roses, the tiaras and diamonds, and of course, the focus of all attention, the royal box, the King George and the Queen Mary, the stateliness with which the Queen Mary wore her robes and jewels was absolutely amazing. Besides that, the most wonderful thing was to see these Indian Rajas in the auditorium. I remember very well that my attention was very much detracted from my performance because I couldn't get my eyes off one of the Indian Rajas in whose beard there were pearls and emeralds woven in. It was a magnificent sight.
For South Africa, 1910 was significant as the year of union. The four provinces put aside their differences and merged under common leadership. A great pageant marked the union celebrations, and a special gramophone record was released by the Gramavox Company in England to remember the occasion musically. The population of South Africa at the time was 5.8 million, all races. And the political parties vying for power, Jameson's Unionists and the Botha-Herzog Coalition, the South African Party, which won handsomely to place Louis Botha in the premier seat. Years later, Botha's colleague, Jan Christian Smuts, paid tribute to the Union's first Prime Minister.
The vision of a united people of South Africa was peculiarly his. While others still thought in terms of separate English and Dutch peoples moving in parallel lines, he saw the vision splendid of a united South African people and brought to earth in our political life. That was perhaps his greatest legacy to us. But he did more. He, more than anyone else, was the architect of our South African Union. Only a man of his vision, his stature, his nationwide authority could have done this for South Africa. And his name will live as long as this union will endure.
Call Back the Past was devised and presented by Percy Seave and comes to you by courtesy of the Springbok Radio Preservation Society of South Africa.